the song. They make me want to roll my windows down and cruise. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Potentially, Notorious would love to see it. I'm sure many others out there do. Blake Bortles could be the quarterback when you buy those tickets at 440-824-3434 for the 2014 season for the Cleveland Browns. He has his pro day today down at the University of Central Florida, and joining us now is the play-by-play voice of Blake Bortles school, Mark Daniels. Mark, thanks so much for taking time here on Blake's pro day. We heard the reports that Teddy Bridgewater faltered a little bit there. What does Blake Bortles have to do in your mind to be the top quarterback chosen in this draft?
Well, I don't know if today is, you know, like the end of all days for Blake. I think Blake throwing at the combine was good for him, got a chance to meet a lot of NFL people, has met with a number of NFL teams the last couple of days. Every NFL team has a representative here. There are several head coaches and GMs and lots of offensive coordinators. I think Blake today just needs to go out and show that he's worked on some of the things that people have suggested he needs to work on, his feet, his balance, mechanics, and things like that. And you know, if he goes out and has a good day throwing the football today, I think it only helps him. I would think, as you know, most people would feel, that for Teddy Bridgewater or Blake, that the body of work of a couple of years as a starting quarterback is a big factor as well. But you know, Blake has interviewed well with people. He's a very personable guy, and I think that he's got a great chance today to, again, showcase his skills and his personality as they begin to fine-tune the, you know, the interview sessions and take a closer look at those mechanics to see what they have. Is he a guy that can come in and play next year for somebody, or is Blake a quarterback that might need some time? I think, you know, no fault to Blake or Teddy Bridgewater or others, is that if everybody came out in this class that people thought was coming out, Blake likely is, you know, maybe a latter first-round pick, but because the number of guys chose to go back or injuries to other quarterbacks, it elevated his stock, and by the nature of that position, puts him in this possible position of being number one, when, you know, 6 months ago you were thinking, is he going to stay? And if he comes out, maybe he's a first-round pick.
Mark, you talked about those mechanics, and I was at the combine and talking with Jordan Palmer, who I know is working or had been working with Blake Bortles on his mechanics, and one of the things he was pointing out was about his footwork and especially sort of widening his stance a little bit to kind of discourage him from taking that left foot and sliding it out too far to the left to throw off his accuracy on throws to the left. Give me a sense of what you've seen in the way of his progress there, and how much of a development has he made just in working with Palmer and other people?
Well, in working with Jordan Palmer, Ted Tolner, who was out there in California as well, and working with people back at UCF, there was an emphasis on the footwork. It's not as if Blake was horrible. It's just they felt he had to fine-tune some things, and it was a big emphasis for them going into the combine and now working after the combine. Whether we'll see a drastic change today, you know, I don't know. One thing that, you know, Blake was good at for the college game and for UCF last year, he was able to extend plays and find guys that got open. And you know, Vic, that, you know, the college game different than the pro game. You got 3-4 wide receivers, someone's going to do something to get open. And Blake may be off balance and throw a pass that became a 30 or 40-yard pass. Well, as the NFL breaks that down mechanically, that may not be the best play for him, but it worked for UCF and its offense. So I think it's part of a progression for him. Pat O'Hara, who's my color analyst for our broadcast, Pat played in the NFL, knows Jordan Palmer well, and the whole group out at USC, they said that they think Blake made great strides in his mechanics and that they would see that today. Better touch perhaps on deeper balls, that maybe had a tendency to have that ball float a little bit. And so hopefully we'll get a chance to showcase that today and see the progress that he made from the end of the season through the combine and now with the workout today.
You've been there for 19 years. You saw Dante Culpepper. Now you see Blake Bortles. In your opinion, you talked about the question about what NFL teams. What do you think? Do you think Blake Bortles is ready to come in and start from day one, or do you think he needs a season of quote-unquote seasoning in the NFL before he's ready?
Well, I mean, I'm biased as a Blake fan, and I hope that he gets a chance to be drafted high, and whatever team he goes to ends up being a productive quarterback to me. I may not care if it's in year one. Hopefully he plays 10, 12 years and somebody says, what a great body of work. You know, I think Blake, as the year went along, got better as a quarterback. You saw his maturity. Even in games that statistically he didn't play well, he still managed to make big plays. Like people talk about looking when UCF played Memphis and statistically he didn't have a good game. Well, he also had a complete 4th and 10 with the game on the line, completed a pass there, completed another key pass after that. So I think Blake got better as the year went along. If you're saying, can he step in and play right now? Depends on the team, depends on the personnel around him. I mean, if you talk about Houston, if healthy, there are some weapons in Houston that could help a rookie quarterback step in and play. If it's on a team that struggles from an offensive line standpoint, like perhaps Jacksonville, it may be really tough for him to step in and be successful early on. So depends on the team. One thing, many things I know about Blake. Blake is a student of the game. He loves to look at film. He loves to ask questions. He loves to work with his receivers and running backs to get feedback in the offensive line during the game. Constantly did that. So he will work at it to get better and fit within the system. Whether he can play from day one, that's obviously up to whoever's going to draft him.
And we are visiting with Mark Daniels. He is the play-by-play voice of the University of Central Florida. And again, talking about Blake Bortles Pro Day, which is today down there. And Blake, Mark, can you give me a sense of the atmosphere? There were some, I read some reports that he was meeting, Blake was, with a few representatives or four of quarterback needy teams, you know, prior to the workout today. Any ideas of what you've heard on that and who specifically is engaging with him?
The Raiders. The Vikings were two of the four teams that met. He has met multiple times a representative of the Texans as well. He spoke with the Jags at length, even the Bucs, so that may change now with what they did at quarterback. Even the Jets had somebody talk to Blake as well. And some of them have just been informal conversations. Blake has had extended talks with some offensive coordinators. He's obviously, you know, met
I think we lost you right there after you said he's obviously met with. All right. Jason Gibbs, our producer, can maybe take control here. It looks like we've lost our connection with Mark Daniels, but I think he was about to say something critical here, and I don't know if he was going to say it about the Browns or not.
No, well, I can tell you, I think there was an NFL report today on Twitter talking about the teams that have met with Blake Bortles. And the Browns were not among them. They said four quarterback needy teams had met with Blake Bortles thus far. And I'm going to pull that up right now and let you know who it is.
He listed some of them, though, right?
He listed a couple of them. It was Oakland. It was Minnesota. It was the Texans. Right. It was Jacksonville. And then he mentioned Tampa Bay as well, but that was probably prior to the signing of Josh McCown. Okay. Now that they have McCown and Mike Glennon, that probably would take them out of the running, in my opinion, there. But, yes, those were the four teams that were mentioned in the NFL News, NFL.com article with Blake
Mark's
Bortles.
Back.
And Mark is back. And Mark, we were talking about the teams. You talked about the Texans, Jags, Raiders, Vikings, and, of course, the Buccaneers, who probably might not be in the running now. We had John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, who knows the Texans very well, and said he believes that 100% they will take a quarterback number one overall, and it will be Bortles or Manziel. Do you get a sense that he seems likely destined for the Houston Texans at this point?
Look, there are dots out there that you can connect. Bill O'Brien worked under George O'Leary. George Gotsi worked for George O'Leary a long time before both of them went to New England. So the dots are there. Whether they connect, I guess, you know, we'll find out. And as I said before, when healthy, it's not a bad offense for somebody to step into. So, you know, I could see a scenario there. I could also see Blake, you know, seeing somebody like Clowney go one, and then all of a sudden you look at other teams that are out there. I think Blake will go early. How early, and if somebody trades up for him, you know, we'll have to see, and they're going to get a really good quarterback that I think has the potential, if given the right support staff and time, to develop. Whether he'll be an all-pro, I don't know that. I don't know who can predict that, but, you know, they'll get a guy that I think can step in and be effective over a period of time. Would he have benefited from a senior season? No question about it, but I don't think you can fault his business decision because of where he's going to go in this draft. It certainly was the right decision from that standpoint.
Mark, great stuff. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and we'll see how this plays out with your guy, but we really appreciate the knowledge.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Mark Daniels.
You know, it is interesting to me that the Browns have been kind of under the radar with these quarterbacks thus far, mm-hmm. although I just got a text from our producer, Jason Gibbs, that Sal Palantonio says the Browns have talked to Bortles. Just got the cutoff of ESPN, so we'll get that out, and we'll hear from Sal Powell in just a second. But, you know, to me, it's a team, it's an interesting situation, and you get the sense that if they are looking at quarterback, they're doing it in a different way than some of the other teams that are just out there and saying, listen, we know we're the quarterback needy teams. Because when you click on a link that says four quarterback needy teams have met with Blake Bortles, you do expect the Browns to be one of those four,
fully.
And they were not.
Fully. And you're right. Maybe they're just not as overt as some of these other teams are. They obviously aren't as overt. But I think that's consistent with the approach. And listening to Ray Farmer kind of all along the way, but especially spending some time with him at the Combine and then after at the start of free agency, and you and I both talked with him at length, and the feedback was this is how he likes it.
Keep him guessing.
He wants guessing going on there. He doesn't want people to feel like they've got it down to what their thought process is. I mean, eventually you get in certain patterns as a team and your mindset, but I'd say right now there is no true predictability to a Brown script.
No, there isn't. And I'm curious, though, to know, and I want people to hit us up on the phones, 216-578-0850, or on Twitter, at Browns_daily. Right now, and obviously only one's had their pro day, but right now, of the three quarterbacks that could be taken at four, that would be Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel. Who is your favorite? And if not, would you rather wait and get a quarterback later on? Like a Derek Carr, a Jimmy Garoppolo, Zach Mettenberger, A.J. McCarron, Aaron Murray, who I like a lot later on in the draft. Are those guys that you think would be better off, or is there somebody you like it for? Of the quarterbacks, what's the way that you want to go on that right now? I know where you and I stand on it. You are a Bortles man. I still like Teddy Bridgewater despite his pro day. Again, I'm not sure if the Browns are taking a quarterback at four. I'm neither. I am not sure. I don't think that where you have a situation like a guy like John McClain, who is very plugged in, I think you and I would both agree, very plugged in the Texans, coming on and saying definitively that that's what Houston's going to do at number one. That's a luxury also being at number one. You can make your intentions known. Nobody can do anything about it. You're going to get who you want. It's different when you're at number four, but I don't think anybody can definitively say that the Cleveland Browns do want to take a quarterback that early.
Not at all, but those who do what we do and others who specialize in draft analysis and put out mock drafts, I mean, they have to come up with something to fill that spot, and they have to follow a thought process, and it's been natural for a lot of them to just put a quarterback to the Browns, and whoever is there, a lot of them will say Bridgewater. I think fewer are saying Bortles, but only on the basis of Bortles' lack of availability. They see him gone at the top. There are some who use Jacksonville as another barometer, but it gets very tricky and tough when you try to figure out how the rest of it's going to fall between two and four, because you can make that Browns quarterback connection or not. And you and I are, I think, leaning in that direction of saying the way they've methodically put this team together, it might not make as much sense now as it originally did when we talked about this position or talked about this team's draft when we went back months ago and said, yep, it's definite that they're going to hit a quarterback at this spot. I don't think anything is close to definite on that.
It is certainly not, and we'll talk about my mock draft and how I see things going or playing out. And granted, there will be no trades incorporated in my mock draft, but I do think that that is something that is becoming a very real possibility for this Browns team, is maybe some type of a move down. We'll see what happens there, but certainly something that could be a possibility in such a rich draft, because the talent in this draft is unbelievable. The talent at wide receiver specifically is unbelievable. There are going to be guys that you can get in the third round that I think in most years would be late first round wide receivers. That's just how loaded this particular draft is, especially at that position. So it begs the question, if the talent is that great, do you take a guy who everybody seems to agree is a transcendent talent in Sammy Watkins at four? Do you take a quarterback and get one of those wide receivers later? Do you take an offensive tackle? Do you take a Greg Robinson and beef up this line and get a receiver later? The Browns are going to have a lot of options, and I think a lot of people are going to want that number four spot if there isn't a guy that the Browns feel like they are in love with at that spot, and it'll be very interesting to see it play out. We're going to talk a little bit about the free agent moves of the Cleveland Browns. We're going to talk a little bit about about what he feels about the upcoming draft when Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal joins us right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.